Action Park Media.
All right, welcome to Victory, the podcast. I'm Narcissist Doug Ellen.
Yes, you are. Kevin Connolly. What's going on, Doug?
I thought you were going to say Interrupter Kevin Connolly.
What's going on? Somebody write something in the reviews?
That some guy said, you know what he said? He said, my marriage to Sarah won't last 5 years. Well, I'm not married, dickhead, so you don't know what you're saying.
That's not a very nice thing to say. By the way, we are going to do, just so everybody knows, we are going to do season 4, episode 9, Young and Stoned. Interesting story.
There is this one person, though, that keeps jumping on those reviews. I know it's the same person. Then they put the things. But the guy,
Entourage Fan,
he also wants to fight, by the way. He wants to fight
you.
And you don't have to look. I'll come find you anywhere you want. Well, I'm here. B, I'm 54 years old, but I don't fight. I'll shoot him.
Nah.
No, I'll shoot him.
You're not shooting anybody.
I will shoot him.
All right.
I will stand. Is that bad for the podcast?
Is it bad that you'll shoot somebody?
I mean, if he wants to enter my space,
right, well,
what is it? Your no-fly zone?
Tell him to stay out of the studio. Leave us out of it. You guys are going to have a shootout.
By the way, Connolly used to be such a tough guy. He's become such a fucking little fucking.
Yeah.
Anyway, I do want to talk about this, though, because there's been a couple of people who said it. The show, which whether you like it or not out there, there's so much, and this episode, we'll talk about that too. There's so much of real life that I've put into the show, and some people say that makes me a narcissist because I talk about it. But that's the writing process, for me anyway, how I bring my real life into it. By the way, I brought your real life into it.
Implication is that you are narcissistic for putting that stuff in storylines.
I somehow bring it all back to me. So
in the podcast or in the show?
Oh, I don't. They made me in life, but I don't think this guy knows me.
Is this the same guy that you're going to have a shootout with in the parking lot?
I'm not going to have a shootout with him, but I'm just saying. I have weapons, shepherds, and no fear.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem. They're not going to come to your house. That would be a losing proposition.
They ain't going to come here with Theo that Dave had shaved down. I mean, what did he do?
I think Theo's haircut looks good.
I mean, he looks great, but I don't know why he did that.
Of course, and Dave's the other one. They're like, oh, we're not nice to Dave.
No, I like the shaggy dog. I just went in there and said, get a trim, don't shave him, and get him back, and they shaved him. I didn't recognize the dog when they gave him to me. I'm like, what did
you
do?
The dog? I hate when Sarah calls my dog
Dave,
the dog.
Dave brings Theo in. This is for everybody that is, I'm mean to Dave. Dave brings Theo in. It's pouring rain, torrential downpour. Dave walks into my office with Theo. Theo starts rolling around on the carpet, and Dave looks at me and goes, yeah, he's drying off. He's drying off.
That's what Dylan does with his Cheetos.
On the carpet, exactly. I understand what people are doing.
Okay, but what I want to say, because Connolly always, you know, in my mind, avoids the confrontations and what we're talking about.
Okay.
So there's a couple things we're talking about. Dave, number one, have I ever not been nice to you?
No, you've always been nice.
Thank you. And Dave, by the way, sent me out of nowhere. Just sent me that the computer that I gave him, sold him, that he extorted out of me, has changed his life. So he just sent me a thank you, a grateful message.
That's great. You know what, Doug? I've been thinking about it. Thank you for the computer. It's great. It's been a total game changer.
You know what's so sick? You're such a good actor. I thought you were actually going to thank me for something just now. I thought you were about to go, I want to thank you for something also. And then I would thank you for something.
I really turned it on because I just did my self-tape.
All right, so you did that. I'm going to get to that in a minute. But what I want to do, and so far you're doing great, and even though you're checking your phone on a podcast while I'm talking to you, which is tough. Would you do that while you're acting or no?
No.
So some people say you interrupt me a lot.
Okay.
So I'm going to try to be... Okay.
Would you like me to respond to that?
Yes, I would.
You know, for people listening, and you know, at times I interrupt, but really it comes from a point of trying to keep us on a certain... See, like you're sitting there, I'm not knocking you, but see how you're sitting there with no papers or anything? I have like all kinds of stuff that we have to cover. So when I do that, maybe I can be better at it. I am really just trying to keep the podcast on.
So you think you're the guy that keeps us in the... I'm just asking.
No, but I mean, like, for example, like I, you know, took notes on the episode and I will kind of guide us. Right, but the mental notes you took. I know you watched it, but you got them on your phone. Well, point is that I'm just trying to keep it moving in the proper direction. Keep an eye on the clock.
All right.
Get an idea of
it. All right. So I guess the question is, because I've thought about my narcissism and I'm going to work on that. Are you saying, just so I'm clear, Are you saying you're going to work on interrupting me, or you think your interruptions are actually doing a good job for us?
Sometimes you tend to spin off into a direction that is
not. Do you
not
do this to Zulai? Because if you did this in therapy, if you did this in therapy, the therapist go, okay, so you're taking no accountability for this whatsoever. You're saying that your interruptions of me are actually helping us and keeping us focused.
Trying to pull you back.
So you're the focused one of the two of us.
I'm trying to rein you in. Sometimes before long, we're on an 8-minute pickleball story. And I get
I'm doing less pickleball also. So, by the way, some people
complain.
That's
gotta be a note.
But I guess the difference between you and I is I hear the criticism. I hear the criticism and I go, okay, I will look at that and I will do my best to do it. Like if I said, well, oh, they said I'm narcissist. Well, you know, it's just, I like to talk about how handsome I am. Then I mean, you know, that's what you're saying. Basically you're focus puller of this show.
What I'm saying is, and I am a man enough to say this, you know, after you leave here and you go do God knows what, we will then go through and edit the episode. So I hear it almost immediately and I go, yeah, I stepped on him here. I do my best, yeah, but it comes from a place of like just trying to keep the.
I don't think you're a bad person.
The tracks.
I don't think you're there to be shot over.
Exactly. I mean, like how harping on it. Jesus. Right.
So I
don't talk about pickleball.
As I said, when I've talked to people about this, because I respond to them, and I said, no, Connolly, you know, he's funny and he wants to jump on and he's excited. So I don't. It doesn't bother me, but I think when you're listening at home, sometimes you don't want to hear the stepping over. So that's all. But
hey, I probably don't want to hear about pickleball for 12 minutes either.
Do you see how he keeps going? I give him a comment. Scotty, are you weigh in on this, PP?
Scotty's editing something else. He's on another project.
He's on Wide-Weeded Women right now. That was an old podcast that'll be in the Ramble on show if it ever appears. So, all right, we'll move on from that.
We got a lot. By the way, you've been heard.
No, it wasn't me. I also did hear one thing, though. A guy told me, he said, hey, Cons, I'm a big fan of the show.
Cons?
That's what he told me. Right. Hey, Cons, big fan of the show, big fan of Entourage, big fan of everything you do. But you interrupt Doug a little, and he said that you said fuck you and blocked him. I'm just telling you, I have no idea if it's true.
Right.
I'm just saying, well, you can't block our fans.
It's a slight exaggeration.
Tell us.
He said something, I interrupt you, and like what bothered me is that he said, I know it seems like we're mean to Dave, but Dave's got a pretty good gig going here. That's all I'm going to say. That bothered me that he made a Dave comment.
All right. So,
but I did block him, and fuck him.
No, we need our fans. We need everyone.
Fuck that guy.
All right. So next. One of the greatest things ever. Sean Avery, NHL All-Star, just a fabulous guy. I come in the other day, and you two, this is almost not believable. Because I actually, and I'm not making fun of Sean, because I actually love Sean, and I've never seen him act, but I see some talent in him. But he's auditioning for the same role as you, which I just found very funny. And what you did, in the morning.
Well, he, you know, Sean always has sides in his hand. So when he walks in, I don't think that I did have the thought that maybe Sean was reading for the same thing, but I had my sides and people, that's the scenes that you're going to do. I had them on my desk and Sean walked in, he saw the sides and he came right over and was like, holy shit, we're reading for the same role. Right. So we had a laugh and then we both were like, all right, well, why don't we do it together? Like I'll read the other role and we'll tape with each other.
Yeah.
We both went rogue and we radio silenced each other and we went off and did it on our own. I did it with Dave. Dave was my off-camera guy.
By the way, I'm not an actor or anything, obviously, but that sounds like a disaster because...
Sean felt that way, but I would have done it.
But aren't you... I don't know. I mean,
if they want Sean, they want me. If they want me, they don't want Sean and vice, you know, however...
So you don't think there's, I guess, you don't think there's something you could... He sees your audition and takes some moment from you or vice versa.
I mean, I guess theoretically that could happen.
Okay, but what you did, which I found to be the funniest thing ever, because you are an Emmy-nominated, Golden Globe-nominated actor. Sean is a hockey player who, by the way, that doesn't mean he won't be an Oscar winner at some point.
Right, no, but he's very committed and he takes it very seriously.
But you sent him in the morning.
No, it was at night, too. Okay. So I knew that he was putting himself on tape the next day, and I was messing around. Oh, God, am I going to get in trouble saying this? Zulai's hair extensions. She has clip-in hair extensions. That were in the bathroom.
What does that have to do with anything?
Well, listen, so I was fucking around. I had her extensions on and I had a coat on. I was like, you know, and I...
This was for the role or this
no,
was
no,
for
no.
because
I want,
you're weird?
I wanted to send a picture of Sean like saying like, hey, this is how I'm doing my audition.
So you were sending him a wrong costume.
I was trying to psych him out. I was trying to get in his head. So, but I'm like, he's got to know I'm kidding or whatever. But in the morning he goes and he puts himself on tape. And then he comes in and he's like, I'm like, yo, did you go into that audition thinking that I did that? He's like, I did. I'm not going to lie. So it worked. I got in his head a little bit.
Now, here's the thing, though.
It was funny.
How would, because if we
and then we showed each other, each other's auditions, which is also weird.
You have the better acting partner, Kevin.
Okay,
Dave. All right, Dave, Dave, you're awesome. I love you.
I want to stay on this because you are a, I would say, a journeyman in the Marvista men's hockey league. Yeah, is that a good description?
That, not even that. I'm like the minor leagues of the Marvista.
So if you... There was like a open, I forget the movie where they do this. They had an open tryout for the New York Rangers, and you and Sean heard, like, saw you lacing up in the morning.
No.
Would he have any nerves about that? No, is the answer.
Sean obviously always comes in here and shows his auditions.
But here's what I'm saying. Yeah. If the Rangers just said, open it up to the world, and Kevin Connolly laced them up from his
that'd be ridiculous.
I right? understand that. Let me finish. So now you go in and you audition for the Rangers and you beat out Sean Avery. That would be like, it would be the sickest story ever.
Right. But so, this is not as crazy if Sean were to get that role.
How? But isn't that interesting? Because you've been acting for 40 years.
Right. Like, right. It's like, right. He's right. But,
you're no, a professional.
But I've been, I not help Sean, but I always watch his auditions. Like yeah. he comes in and he shows them to me. So, and normally I don't do that. But since we had a good laugh about it, we exchanged auditions.
But would you be, would you be like, I cannot believe I lost a role to Sean?
Absolutely not.
Really?
Strange things happen, bro. People get roles. Yeah. You never know what's going to happen.
It's a different thing in this business. That's why I'd say it's interesting. Like if I was going in for meetings, you know, and I was like, oh, they're looking for a writer for this show. And like, I walked in and Stock Tip was on the computer that he extorted from me, working on his script. Right. And then, like, I was like, oh, what are you doing? He's like, I'm going in to run this show. And then I was going in to run the show, too. If Stock Tip beat me out,
no, you use the example, like, when I came in for Entourage, you're just, like, the guy.
Yeah.
Right? So, and I think there's really, really something to that. Right. So, if Sean goes in for that role and he's that guy, then you're that guy. That's right. All there is to it. A lot of times it doesn't even come down to your audition. I just had a fun time doing the audition because it was a little crazy.
So, if Sean went up for The Revenant and you heard he beat out Leo, you'd go, well, he was the guy.
Well, obviously, that's a little bit of a different story.
You're an Emmy-nominated, yeah. Golden Globe-nominated actor for right. 30, 40 so years.
I would not bother me if Sean got
I'm not
the
even
In fact,
making,
I'd love it if Sean got the role.
I'm not right? even making fun of you. I guess I'm saying it's such a interesting business because, obviously, if you're a sports athlete—
I mean, look, The Rock was a wrestler, right? Yeah. I mean, he made the jump pretty easily. Or
you
not
think,
easily.
You think but, Avery's got Rock potential?
I'm just saying, like, you know, there was—come on, remember The Rock with that— thing with his eye and all of it. He's the biggest movie star in the world.
Do you know that's what's so crazy? I've barely seen anything The Rock's ever done. I don't have any reason against him.
He's box office, bro.
Yeah.
Like, he's
but
in a movie and it's like
I've never seen any of those movies. I'm not even judging. I've never seen, I swear to God, there's no reason behind this. I've never seen one frame of Fast and the Furious, any of them, right. Not one of them. And
I watched the first couple, but.
I mean, people love them, but, and people love The Rock,
part
obviously.
12, yeah.
Yeah. So
I mean, he's uber famous.
Yeah, he uber is. Famous. And apparently he's good, but I haven't seen him. And I,
but you know. This, the, it's funny that audition story leads to, remember the Bitcoin? All right. So when I'm getting ready to put myself on tape for this audition, I needed to find a gold chain. So I'm like digging around and, you know, I guess I could say it. It's like a man jewelry box, right? What is that called?
I don't know.
A jewelry box. I don't know. It's a very masculine looking jewelry box where I put like cufflinks and things of that nature. So I was looking for a chain in there or whatever. And I, at the bottom of this thing, I found a Bitcoin card that's been in my dresser for 10 years.
Wow.
10 years. So needless to say.
Like it was gifted to you somewhere.
Somewhere along the line 10 years ago. So needless to say, I was very excited. I come in here, Dave is like, you know, halfway hating on me, right? So long story short, we're trying to find out. I didn't tell you this. We got to open up a wallet and get the seed phrase and do all this stupid stuff. And when we get on the card and we open the account, it was like 0.00026.
It wasn't even one Bitcoin.
It was worth like $62.
Are you kidding me?
Dave's like, you can get a bottle of Johnny Black for that.
That's really depressing.
It was. By the way, the highest of highs, because it's a card. There could have been 10 Bitcoin on there.
I mean, I haven't looked.
I don't even know enough about it.
But I haven't looked at the numbers. I mean, a Bitcoin today is worth like $23,000.
$25,000.
I believe 10 years ago, it was probably worth
$1. In 2009, it was, you know, a few bucks. So, and I'm not even like a Bitcoin guy, but shit, to find one in your drawer.
But I'm just thinking what they gave you. They gave you like 30 cents.
$62. It's 62 bucks.
Oh, it was 62 bucks then.
No, that's what it's worth.
Now.
That's what it's worth.
Right,
now.
So I'm saying then it was worth like 62 cents.
What a scam. I can't believe I held on to
that.
We
did the research.
Years.
When he got that card, Bitcoin was worth between $400 to $600.
Right, so it's worth about 100 times. So that's a shame that they didn't give you one Bitcoin.
They couldn't give us one Bitcoin at that point. Crazy.
Would you have bought me anything nice if you got 24,000?
I probably would have held on to it because it would have been a free Bitcoin. But right. I mean, dude, the high that I left that house with, because I think I was talking to Ethan Suplee in Florida. He's like, dude, you don't know, bro.
Yeah.
2013, there could be 100 on there. I was thinking like, could you imagine what a story that would be?
Oh, yeah.
And by the end of the day, and then Scotty and I were going like, oh, Dave's being a hater, dude. This, at minimum, there's one Bitcoin on there.
Yeah, I would have thought that.
Right, so that's, and then pull it up, and fucking, of course, Avery was sitting there. We're all looking at the computer screen, and there comes $62 my Bitcoin's worth.
Do you remember that relief pitcher for like the Dodgers or the Phillies? He was, his land that he lived on, his grandmother passed away, and he lived on it, was on like this rare mineral, and it was worth like $900 million.
Is that true? Wow.
100%. Yeah. He was a pitcher for the Dodgers of the Phillies. So
crazy.
Was that a bad story?
No, that's on script. That's on script. Yeah.
Because we're going to get to season four, episode
nine, Young and Stoned. But I do want to talk before we go to the break and come back to talk about that. I want to talk about, we have our five finalists for the JSX Queens Boulevard. Yes. International Film Festival, bro. This is going to be tough.
I'm sorry that I'm looking at my thing, but I just got a message from Perry Reeves, Mrs. Ari, I wanted to get in today. We have to start planning things earlier, but she'll come in.
It would be good to talk to her about that episode.
Yeah, but we can talk to her about that episode anyway after the fact. But right. So she'll come in, and then the Meat Mafia, which is the podcast that Adrian did where he talked about his...
Oh, man, if the semen retention thing, you ran with it, and then you had Dave cut a clip. I mean, I thought maybe the audio would slip through the cracks and Grenier wouldn't hear about it, but then you cut the clip.
I don't think there was anything... I wasn't trying to hate on him. I was trying to spread the word of what he's saying.
Felt like semen retention was spoken a lot.
I mean, people thought it was funny. Adrian's not mad. But anyway, I sent a message to you and Adrian. I said, can we lock this down? And Adrian said, how about April? And you didn't reply.
He said, how about April 8th, which is the live show?
No, he did not say April 8th. He said, how about April? And you did not reply.
We got him.
Can you just reply?
We got him.
Lock
him
down.
Retaining semen. No, we got to talk about these finalists. So do you have an idea of how you're going to vote?
I don't have to tell you that. By the way, I want to talk about this. No, I do want to talk about this, though. I have a vote. My vote is equal to your vote.
Of course it is.
Okay.
Yes.
So, but last night you called me, and when you,
I just want you to consider other. I want you to consider a lot of things.
I don't
watching
need you to tell me what to consider. So Beefy and him kind of strong armed me last night. They called me. You could tell they had a couple of drinks in them, and they're like, "I want you to think about this when you're watching." I don't. They're 90-second short films. I've seen a million short films in my life. Let me make my own decision.
There were a couple things I wanted you to keep in mind while you're watching.
I don't want you to tell me what to keep in mind.
Why? I'd like to point out some things as the director of the film festival. I'd like
They do that. I don't think Robert Redford calls the judges at Sundance and says, I want you to think about this, this, and that. I don't think they do.
I would like you to watch it on your big screen TV.
Okay, that's fine.
For starters.
That's fair.
Like anybody watching.
That's very
and judging.
Different than what you were saying last night. Like, no, you get this as a comedy.
What I'm saying is, and I'm saying this to the filmmakers out there, for everybody that submitted films, I mean, you know, we have five finalists and you know, we're going to have a winner and two honorable mentions, but there are other films that you almost want to talk about that just couldn't fit into the five, but there's like ones I want to show you. That's what we were talking about.
What I do want to say is I can't believe how good these things are.
I know.
I'm jealous, I'm bitter, and I know I'm not a narcissist because I think they're better than me.
I don't think
I could make one that good. I honestly don't.
That's what I'm saying, and it was really hard to whittle it down. So even when we have our finalists and we'll talk to, you know, everybody, but there's a couple other ones that I don't know whether we put them on YouTube, which you got to subscribe to, Action Park Media YouTube page. Even if we put them there, we got to put them all together because there's a few that are really, really good that we couldn't even squeeze into the top five. So we're going to announce the winner. We sent it out today. Everybody got their email with their movies, and I just want to make sure everybody watches them airdrops them to a big screen.
So,
that's all I'm saying.
Okay, it's exciting. So we got, who's looking? Me, Jerry, Dylan?
Dylan. Alex Wilcox, the CEO of JSX. And then I was thinking about maybe opening it up to Sarah Zulai, Scotty.
What about Dave?
Dave.
Jesus.
He's just a reckless voter. I mean, is the thing, you know?
I mean, every vote counts.
Every vote counts.
I mean, I don't know. Scotty, you have any thoughts on this, Scotty?
Scotty's busy. Scotty's editing.
What is he doing over there?
He's editing.
Is he actually in there anymore?
Yeah, he's in there.
He's in here. Like, want me to take off his headphones?
No.
Yes, rip him off his fucking head.
All right, I'll do it right now.
No. Just leave.
We'll be back. Season 4, episode 9,
Young and Stoned. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I'm always feeling like my best self when I get some exercise. When I'm in a good routine and I'm able to string together a bunch of days of exercise, that's when I'm always feeling at my best. And when you're at your best, you can do great things. But sometimes, it is what it is, life can get bogged down. You may feel overwhelmed, like you're not showing up the way you want to. Working with a therapist can help you get closer to the best version of you. Because when you feel empowered, you're more prepared to take on everything life throws at you. I mean, it's no secret. I mean, we talk about it all the time on Victory. I've benefited from therapy. I like it. You know, some people think it's not for them. A lot of people are uncomfortable. They think it's too expensive. They don't want to talk to strangers. I mean, I get it. But therapy is good. BetterHelp is good. If you're thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. It's convenient, flexible, affordable, and entirely online. Fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapist at any time for no charge. So if you want to live a more empowered life, therapy can get you there. Trust me. Visit BetterHelp.com/victory today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/victory.
All right, welcome back. Victory the podcast.
Season 4, episode 9, Young and Stoned. Yeah. I don't know, man.
But you didn't like
angry episode. No, I liked it. And for once, I thought my storyline was the cleanest. Mm-hmm. Thought the other ones were a little aggressive, bro. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Aggressive.
I hear you. And interesting. So Mark Mylod, great job directing. The house looks insane. I mean,
no, it's a great looking
remember
episode.
Remember that house, though? Yeah. It was tough to get up there. But
by the way,
that's
Sam Nazarian's house.
That is Sam Nazarian's house.
And he lived right across the street from Leo. And I don't live far. I mean, it was a glorious time. I used to go home for lunch and take a nap. I used to take a walkie-talkie. And I would just sit on my couch and put my head back. And when I heard, all right, we're back, I would walk back to set.
You know, one thing we're not supposed to do anymore is quote Goodfellas because it bothered somebody. But
right,
you did just now. But
what
you did just
what,
now.
What I did.
It was a glorious time. Do you remember when Leo says that?
I might have said that. I was not actually quoting it. But a couple things that jumped out at me about that house and that area. You remember that morning with the car? We've talked about this before. But for sure, of all the cars, my favorite car to drive, like the Maserati, beautiful car. I just was never comfortable in it. But the Aston Martin was phenomenal.
Which we have to talk because this morning I tried to bring this up to you. Street People of Beverly Hills Today. Did you see this?
No.
In front of Mike Young's apartment, Williman and Burton Way.
Okay.
There is a blue Aston Martin that has and the driver apparently is fine. A massive accident on video, flips over three times in that midsection between, it's literally in front of Mike Young's apartment. And the first thing I thought is like,
well, I said, when we watched the episode yesterday, I was like, man, you know, the one thing about that car is that it's kind of, I don't know, man. I'm wondering what the safety test looked like.
Why,
that
it didn't
car.
Feel solid?
No, you don't remember this? So, I mean, it was great because it was really early in the morning. We were doing the part where she rear ends me. And there's a shot where the camera's on me and I need to, the car needs to jump a little bit. So they backed up a truck and they hooked up the front of the Aston Martin to it and they were going to pull it and I was just going to react and the car was going to move. And when the pickup truck jumped, it just ripped the whole front end of the Aston Martin.
I don't remember.
You don't remember this?
No.
And I lived probably, I don't know, 100 yards away and it was all downhill. I got out of the car, I took off my ankle pack and I was like, have a good day, fellas. I'll see you tomorrow. I knew that we were done because they had to move
the
on to another
done.
Scene. Well, no, they had to go somewhere else and shoot something else. So I was like, yeah, we're not doing this. We don't have a car. So I took off and went home. But I remember thinking, yeah, it just didn't feel, it felt kind of tinny, but I don't know. I mean, there's got to be some kind of safety methods.
This episode opens with Soulja Boy. I mean, it's and I have no recollection of this and whether Venner picked that song or not, but I think that's right when he kind of broke. But interestingly enough, my son got him to play at their frat party like 2 weeks ago.
Really?
Yeah, it was sick. It was unbelievable. The whole school was there. It was like thousands of people.
I would imagine.
It was really cool.
And sells tickets.
That song really opened up the episode nicely and it came in. And I just want to talk a little bit about, you know, the writing process and how it goes down. The script is written by a writer named Dusty Kay, who was a very nice guy who I would have never imagined his name was on the script. But the way things work, you're in a writer's room and you try to give everybody credit.
Everybody gets one a season or whatever. I mean, there was fewer number of episodes, but everybody gets down credit.
One of the hard things, really hard things for me especially, was to hire writers. And the way you hire writers is you get scripts. Back then, you would usually get specs of other shows. So
people know what a spec is, not interrupting Doug.
No,
providing
you did
color.
Great there. You were great.
A spec would be if you want to show that you're a writer and you wanna come on and write for Entourage, you can say, here's my spec that I wrote for Curb Your Enthusiasm, or my spec I wrote for Seinfeld, or whatever it is, right? Whatever the show is. You write basically a fake script.
Yeah, which is how Entourage happened, by the way, because I wrote a Curb Your Enthusiasm, which
spec.
Is crazy that they're still on the air. Now, I don't think the town is really reading specs anymore. I think now they're into originals. It changes. But back then,
it was all about the spec.
You got a script. So I got a script from the writer, Dusty Kay, and it was the Mutter episode of Seinfeld, which is a very famous episode with Kramer as a horse, like Jem Mint 9.
Jem Mint 10.
Apparently runs great in the mud. And when Dusty, you hire people and you give them 12, 16-week contracts, and that's it. You're in with them. And again, I love Dusty. He was great. But he walks in. I'm like, you know, and we hired him. Like, on the phone, you're rushing and all of this. I'm like, yo, man.
You're staffing up.
Yeah, you're stepping up. That Mutter script, and he's like, I didn't write that.
No, it wasn't me, bro. What are you talking about? What Mutter script?
And I mean, I don't want to throw Ari under the bus, but Ari was his agent. Ari sent that script over. It had his name on it.
Yeah, just change the cover page. By the way, that's hilarious.
I don't even know how it went down. I don't have a clue, but I was all of a sudden, because I remember, because whatever it's worth, I have a hard time reading scripts. I have severe ADD, and you better, and I'm not making fun of people. Like Levinson, who was our producer, was a great reader of scripts. I was a terrible reader of scripts, and you have to read a lot to find writing. And sometimes for me, I would...
A lot of specs.
Yeah, and I would rather just start writing than sit and read scripts for hours upon hours and hours. And also, for me, it's very hard to I read a Seinfeld, it's like everything that George says is kind of funny. So it's hard to, you know, break it down, but...
But, Doug, so for people listening, the way... And correct me if I'm wrong here, Doug. So the way that it works is, let's say we're doing 10 episodes of Entourage, right? At the end of the day, Doug is going to have the final word on every script, right? You're going to be signing off on it, but when you start cracking stories and start cracking scripts while we're all writing together, but you know, Stock Tip Dave and Scotty Wilson are a writing team, and they're off working on their outline or their script for their not negotiated, but right? Everybody gets an episode or two episodes or whatever.
Kind of. I mean,
but everybody's got to get their own one where their name's on it.
That,
right?
Usually you'll sit in the room, and we did this probably less than most shows, but usually you sit in the room and you come up, throw out ideas. Somebody could say that. Interestingly enough, like Anna Faris in a towel. That was a real story. Lori Kritzer, Eric's sister, like that was a real story. She left the gym and didn't want to change. And she got in a car accident while she was basically naked in the car. So I thought it was funny.
Right.
So I put out a first. But everyone will throw out ideas.
So you pitch ideas and then this could happen and that could happen. And then that said writer or writer's team, whatever it is, will take a crack at their version of it.
Right.
And then everybody starts weighing in, and that's when all the shit gets changed around. And that's where the showrunner comes in and ultimately.
Yeah.
But rarely, right, I would imagine, does a writer turn a script in and the showrunner goes, all right, let's shoot it, right? You're always going to do a pass.
There is no rarely. That never happened on our show. And,
right.
I wish it did.
Right.
And that's not judging anybody else, because like I say, when you know the voices...
You got a specific thing.
I'm so what I want, and, you know, it doesn't even mean it wouldn't be better if they did it. And actually, this is another episode that personally, you know... I didn't love this episode.
We were saying earlier, like, how I've gone soft. And I'm not, again, we don't have any regrets, but we watched it yesterday. I was like, wow, this is kind of a mean episode. Or not mean, aggressive.
Well, what I felt is, and you know, Ari and Perry's relationship, Mrs. Ari, is so based on my ex-wife and I. And not just the storyline of it, obviously, but and I know the way it was written or the way it felt 10 years ago, it just felt like he was really mean to her. Even
watching
though
watching it now.
Yeah, even though he's flirting with her and he's jealous and he's this and that.
He seemed a bit of a psychopath.
Yeah, it's a little more Paul Schneider in Star 80.
There was a darkness to it.
Yeah, there really was, and I'm... It's interesting because we should have gotten Piven on it, because I would love to hear what he said about it. And by the way, I need everybody to understand when we talk about this, Piven's amazing in the episode. He's selling
every
single line of it.
Yeah,
I was thinking about the writing. I'm like, he's like, I mean, first of all, Perry could not look hotter.
That's what I'm saying.
It is so ridiculous. And I get that the storyline is that Ari is very jealous and loves his wife. But when you say,
it's also a power play though, you know?
Yeah. But can you imagine telling Zulai that she doesn't look good in HD?
Like it's not a good time now because of 4K or HD. Yeah,
and he doesn't break it. Like there's no like, haha, I'm kidding. I mean, he says it 20 minutes later.
Right.
But then show up at work. I'll tell you what it feels like. And again, I need everybody to say it. I don't apologize for the show. I stand by everything. But things evolve and it feels like almost, it feels like 70s shit because he's so like, I'm the man and you're, you know.
It just felt out of character.
I don't like what we wrote for her either, that she goes, I've never regretted being a mom. I don't know. Everything about it just felt...
It was awkward.
Yeah.
Slightly awkward. Well, the new year is here. It's 2023. No better way to kick off a new year than making sure you're feeling like your best self. Liquid IV is the category-winning hydration brand fueling for your well-being, and their hydration multiplier is one product you're missing on your daily routine. In just one stick, you get 5 essential vitamins and 2 times faster hydration than water alone. Use it first thing in the morning before a workout, when you feel run down after a long night out and on long flights. You know, I love about Liquid IV, gotta be honest, you know, here at Action Park Media, a lot of times we wrap up the day with a little happy hour. So to ensure the next morning I'm banging on all cylinders, I like to use a little Liquid IV. I like the Concord Grape. I'm also a fan of the Pina Colada. One stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you 2 times faster and more efficiently than water alone. Liquid IV is on a mission to change the world. To date, Liquid IV has donated over 25 million servings in 50-plus countries around the world. So grab your Liquid IV in bulk nationwide at Costco, or you can get 20% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use the promo code VICTORY at checkout. That's 20% off anything you order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code VICTORY at liquidiv.com.
And I wanted to talk to you about that because I have an actress fiance, you an actress baby mama.
Fiance, wife, they.
Whatever it is. I mean, the guy on You right now, which I thought was ridiculous, and he's great, by the way, and the show's great, but he will not do love scenes anymore on the show, which I mean, can you imagine you're season 4 of a hit show and all of a sudden your actor tells you, I won't do whatever. Maybe it was fine, maybe the writers didn't care, but you certainly don't want to be told that. But he won't do it because he's in a relationship. If Zulai tomorrow got, I don't know, let's say she got 9.5 weeks.
I know where...
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, 9.5 weeks would be tough, for sure.
But it's considered an art film.
Well, if it's considered... Listen, at the end of the day, like, this is the life that we chose. This is, you know, we're actors. Like, that's what you do. Do you love it? No. I mean, there's ways that... 9.5 weeks would be aggressive. 9.5 weeks is aggressive.
9.5 weeks with... I'm trying to think. By the way, the guy who plays the soap actor, he looks so much like Adrian, and he's a handsome motherfucker.
Yeah,
so
we were laughing, too, because there's, like, scenes where when he's acting, where you guys can see that you clearly like oiled up his chest. It's like his chest is shiny. And by the way, it is shot exactly.
Like
I mean, for fucking love of God, my lot. I mean, it just looks like a soap opera.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It just was.
Well, the dialogue plays like it too, but I'm just thinking about the storyline. Connolly, Zulai gets some movie and you show up on the set. Imagine just standing there
staring.
That's what
I'm saying. It's psychotic. Yeah. It's psychotic. Like you would, you know, like truthfully for me, again, 9.5 weeks is a whole different discussion. But if it were a scene or whatever, something you have to know, you probably prefer to not know about it. For me personally, right? Like, you know, whatever, you know what's in this episode, right? So at some point in the next 7 days, she's going to shoot that scene. I'd rather not just not know about it.
Right.
And also, again, 9.5 weeks is different from a soap opera. You know, it's a big difference. The fact that he reacted that way over a soap opera. Now, if it was going to be that and she landed the lead in 50 Shades of Grey or something, you're like, what the fuck? But this is like a soap opera. Like, I don't know, it's just mean of him. Like, she was... And by the way, Perry looks... Unbelievable.
I mean, unbelievable. Like the shape that she is in. Like it actually last night, because I'm doing everything I can. We spoke about this morning. I'm trying to get as healthy as I possibly can. And Perry, I'm like, Perry is, I don't even know how old she is there. 38, 39.
Whatever.
I'm like, what the fuck? She, you know.
And the other thing I have to say too, and we talked about this, is I have a new appreciation for what it is that she did in the sense of the time Perry was hot. I didn't really think, you know, she's so beautiful. Like, what did it matter? But like looking back, probably, you know, you're putting yourself out there on Entourage, you know, you're opening yourself up to, you know, I'm sure that she was under a lot of pressure. I mean, she probably, you know,
to look good,
just to look like.
But
like,
I do
and
want
she and she did get there. But I'm saying, like, I saw a different side of what that pressure could look like for her.
But I do want to be crystal clear.
Oh yeah,
and Perry will say this. I didn't write it like, oh, she takes her dress off here.
Oh yeah, she clearly said like, I'm ready to go.
Exactly, I'm in good shape, and I want to
do it. Right? She had to make that.
She's awesome. But I do. I hate whoever wrote it, whoever came up with it, which I ultimately take the thing. I just hated when she said, I never regretted being an actor, because just the whole story doesn't track to me. It's like, so she just wants to have a fun day out. I don't know.
Right.
I don't.
And you know, he didn't, it, like you said, he didn't ever pull back on it. It wasn't like he was catching himself. He just fucking rips into her. He was annoyed with her the whole episode.
No,
the part on the phone when she's on the phone talking to her friend in the beginning. Like,
yeah. And he also doesn't say, by the way, when I think about it, and again, please listen to me. This has nothing to do with Jeremy. Jeremy was fantastic in the episode. The writing of this episode is shit.
Yeah,
why isn't the biggest agent in the business helping his wife get a real job as opposed to
if you really want to get back into it, let me see what I think I got to play here. And she's on whatever show.
And by the way, looking back at it now, because you and I deal with this with our fiancés, like, imagine Ari having to deal with self-tapes in the house. That would annoy him. You know what I mean? Like,
right,
Ari has to read with her, you know? But
right.
it feels like a very... It's almost like he's treating her like it's his daughter in this episode, not his wife. And I know that everything is meant to be. I love you so
funny,
much.
And I don't... only person that touches you is me. And it does. There is that side of it. It felt out of character.
It's not well written. It really isn't. It just doesn't. And again, it's not Dustin,
right, you're not,
or anybody else.
Right.
It doesn't get into that Jeremy's really insecure about it. Ari. It doesn't get into that. It feels just like control and nasty,
right.
And you know, and then Turtle's fighting with this girl.
Well, real quick, before we go to that, because that's crazy. We're watching Scotty was like, what's Defamer? Remember Defamer?
No.
You don't remember Defamer? Remember the website?
I don't.
That it came on? That was
I remember on the show. I don't.
That was
I thought
early
it was fake.
Version of, no, Defamer, TMZ? Gawker, and Defamer was like an early version of, you didn't want to be on Defamer.
Right.
It was like it was a bad thing. It was like an early blog.
Right.
I guess gossip blog. I thought that was an interesting shout out. That dated us for sure.
So, but why? So like she wasn't even in like the Hollywood Reporter.
It was right. Like, it was like in garbage. Like the version of what would become Perez Hilton, basically. Right.
That's
but no, because it was more Hollywood based. I think I'm not sure about Defamer, but Defamer was one of those early things. Now, yeah, like the turtle thing, bro. What the fuck was that about?
And by the way, she was excellent. That girl.
She was great.
And I get what we're going for. It is that like flirty,
the annoying friend.
Because
I mean,
by the way, she was
going for the annoying
but she was
friend.
Cute too. She was.
She
not
was
like,
cute.
You know,
no, she was annoying. She was the annoying friend. Like,
yeah.
That's what it was, right?
But they just went at each other so early.
Right.
And
felt like Turtle fired the first shot.
It did. He's like, shut up.
Shut up. Tape your mouth shut. Yeah. Can I use it to tape your mouth shut? Like, what? We're like looking at each other. And Scotty was like, I think maybe Doug was in one when this episode, when these guys were doing this episode.
This is the one where maybe Mindy Kaling was right.
Right.
Fucking animals.
You're like, Turtle's like, yeah, I'll do it if you promise to keep your mouth shut. I mean, he just fucking likes this girl.
She's like, eat me? He's like, not if you were bathed in caramel sauce.
And here's the other thing, like props to the actress because she goes toe to toe. She is unbothered by a Turtle. The two of them just don't like each other.
But I think that's what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be cute and that they do like each other. And Jerry has Jerry has such an innocence that it doesn't feel as mean as, well, maybe it does because I felt it too last night watching it. I'm like, God, everybody's so fucking mean.
Everybody's so mean to everybody. Right. Right. And I don't know. Jerry was a guy that would defend himself, but like he started that fight.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, first line. I thought you said by the way, Kelly Krueger, right?
That's Rob Weiss's ex-wife.
Ex-wife. He looks at her. He's like, "I thought you said your friend were as hot as you."
Yeah,
that's a mean line.
So, do you think? Here's the question, and the audience can listen to this too, and they'll yell at us. Have we softened, or there is something like?
I don't know. Let's put it this way. Rarely do I feel that way. So, you know, we've softened. Maybe in this episode, it felt that way. I think everything is funny. Once in a while, we come upon something where it's like, I don't know. Ari was in a fucking bad mood from the jump.
Yeah,
and Turtle's like fucking really rude to this girl for no real reason. But the best thing about it is the payoff is when she pushes him in the pool.
Yeah,
I mean, it was probably the hardest I laughed in the episode.
I thought
it was fucking hilarious because that's a bummer, dude.
You know what? Yes,
to have
it
the
is.
Annoying friend push you in the pool.
But I think
that's a war.
In my opinion, look. She's attractive, and Jerry is, he's the guy that doesn't get the girls usually, so I think that's what we were going for. Again, I don't think either thing is successful. Jeremy's story, Ari's story is very clear to me.
Just dark, bro.
He loves his wife so much that he doesn't want any other guy touching her, and he would, and by the way, like I said, he would prefer, you know what it is? If I was writing this today, it would be like, baby, you wanted to give up acting. I believe you could have been Meryl Streep if you wanted to. Right. And if that's what you still want, let's go do that. But I don't want you kissing a guy on a stupid soap that's doing nothing for anybody. And if you're, again,
you're saying that's what you, that would be the storyline today.
Yeah.
And then it would be him self-taping, having to deal with her self-taping.
Yeah. But he would actually deliver something from her because she doesn't even have a strong motivation to do it. So nobody really has any stakes except for Ari is Paul Snyder from fucking Star 80.
Right.
He's just a really,
it
like,
was dark. And you know what's funny? The director of the soap opera was good. He's like,
oh, great.
He's like, you know, I just wasn't feeling it. I thought it would be more intimate if we didn't kiss. The guy's like, no. Kiss. All right. They're going again. The guy had one line. He came in and out. But he was great. And then, yeah, what we were saying, like, what is this storyline? And it's really the annoying friend storyline.
Well,
right?
Yeah.
Scotty's like, every group has one. So I guess that's really what it was. It was a play on that, I guess. Like the bummer friend who's just like aggressive and like all over the place. I don't know. It was not nice. And what is up with the weed? What's going on? The weed?
All right. Well, I do want to say that because, you know, narcissist Doug does come back to me, but
bring it back to you.
Tulane University,
back
freshman
to you,
year.
Doug. Back to you.
Freshman year. I'm sure I used these people's names in the show somewhere, but it's me, Andrew Levy. Oh my God. It's so weird. Paul Snyder is the Star 80 character that Eric Roberts played. Paul Schneider, who I named Michael Hitchcock, was the Variety reporter. I named him Paul Schneider in the show. I am in a car, freshman year of Tulane University. Me, Andrew Levy, and Paul Schneider, and David Leibowitz. And New Orleans was a scary town, and you did not fuck with police officers there. And the things that we always heard is, they hate Tulane students, they hate whatever.
Probably some obnoxious dudes like roaming around in places they shouldn't be. Not saying that you were, but a rogue Tulane student in the wrong area is not good with cops.
So we are—
You guys buying drugs?
No, we're sitting in front of Cooter Browns, and we are, again, everybody needs to look back at this show where it was then. Pot is illegal in California, right, when the show is on. So none of it even makes sense, right, anymore. Now it's like, what?
Yeah, part I liked. It kind of brought you back to that time, but.
So in New Orleans in 90, we're doing bong hits in front of Fat Harry's, which is one of the most popular bars in New Orleans. Bong hits in a car. Like Cheech and Chong, the smoke is filled and boom, boom.
That's what you did those days.
Boom, boom. A cop knocks on the car. We're freshmen in Tulane. And at that time, we had heard warnings. Do not fuck with cops. One, this is like suspension, life over, maybe go to jail. He pulls all four of us out of the car. He puts us up against the car. And he says, I swear on my life. He says, your life is over. You're going to jail. We're going to strip your car down, and we're going to sell the parts in Metairie, okay, which is like a dangerous area of New Orleans. He then says, the three of you get back in the car. He pulls a quarter ounce out of my friend Andrew's pocket. He says, get in the car. We're sitting there. We're like, oh, my God. Like, our life's over. It really feels like that. And we have a lunatic cop. He walks my friend down the street, and he fucking puts him face down, and now we're like, we got to do something. He's going to shoot him. And my friend comes back. He's trembling. Well, like, what happened? He's like, no, nothing. Drives around the corner. He starts to calm down. He makes three rights. He pulls right back up. He gets out of the car. He goes, he made me put my weed down the sewer, and I put it on a ledge. And he grabs his weed and takes it out, just like what Turtle did in the story. But it was terrifying.
Your version is way darker. Jesus.
It was dark as hell, and it was scary as hell. And
that made it into a comedy.
It made it into a comedy. But it wasn't that funny, and I didn't really capture the feeling of getting one over on the cops or anything. It just felt off. I don't know.
It did. It fell flat.
Yeah.
We were actually wondering how Turtle knew there was the ledge on the sewer thing, so that he knew how to put the weed there in the episode.
Well, in my friend's case, he was lying face down on the thing, and the guy said, throw it in, and he reached in, felt the ledge, and put it on the ledge. So I watched it twice last night. I don't even remember. Did we see Turtle when he walked down the block? Or
you don't really see where he grabs it from. He just comes back, and he comes back and has it.
It just was flat. It just didn't have that vibe, which was scary.
I also didn't get like, oh, we have to have this weed vibe.
Well,
either.
They talked, you know, about it, like they had this rare weed, and
like
what
some
happened?
Kind of rare weed, and Vince had some left over. Just, I don't know, man. The whole story, like, and everybody was like getting together to smoke this like great weed. It just, I don't
know. Can we talk about it?
It's not a great episode, bro. Victory the Podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What's up, Victory listeners? Whether you love true crime or comedies, celebrity interviews, news, or even motivational speakers, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue, right? And guess what? Now you can call the shots on your auto insurance, too. Enter the name Your Price Tool from Progressive. The name Your Price Tool puts you in charge of your auto insurance by working just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, then they'll show you a variety of coverages that fit within your budget, giving you options. Now that's something you'll want to press play on. It's easy to start a quote, and you'll be able to choose the best option for you fast. It's just one of the many ways you can save with Progressive Insurance. Quote today at Progressive.com to try the name Your Price Tool for yourself and join the over 29 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
But you know what? I do like the Anna stuff, and she's great. And you guys.
By the way, I will say, I feel like at times, like I just felt like she was running circles around me out there. If I'm being totally honest, rewatching it, first of all, I had a ridiculous shirt on when she rear ends me. And I looked like Han Solo. I had like, I don't know, it was a fucking weird shirt I had on. And then she just kind of fucking, I don't know, man, she's just fucking dealing cards out there, and I'm swinging and missing, trying to hang in. But that was the one, too, where you were busy writing the other episode.
There's look.
And when I go to her house, she's like, oh, how do you know where I live? And I said,
oh my God.
I said, star maps.
Brutal.
Right.
When I watched it last night, it brought me back all the anger.
Right. You were like, what? How could he not get that's being sarcastic?
That line. She says, how did you find my house?
Remember back in the day.
Star maps,
you could stop on the side of the road and you could find out where whoever, you know, Humphrey Bogart lived or Keanu Reeves or Leo, they're all on a thing.
But Connolly is Vincent Chase's manager. He's right. Driving a $150,000 automobile. He's got to have a way to get Anna Faris's address if he needs it. That doesn't star maps. It was supposed to be a
flirt. What do you think? Oh, a star maps. Like, yeah. Well, of course I got your number because I'm fucking locked in. I'm dialed in. That's how I got your number. It was super easy to get your number.
I am the manager to the stars. I'm not just some schmuck.
My fucking client makes $10 million a picture.
But
okay?
By the way, the whole,
so I tracked you down with ease.
The whole storyline though, with you and her is,
by the way, it's the best
it's
of the three.
Good. No, but it's good because it actually shows you have a really good moment where you're telling her what that script is about, and that's where I go, yeah, E has value. He
read the script, and I remembered it. I retained it.
Yeah,
I retained
like
the
semen.
Script. And you know where we shot? I was telling these guys, I retained it as I would my semen if we were in a 30-day holding pattern. Do you know where I was telling the guys, remember, we shot that scene in front of the old office.
Oh, I know that.
Did you see that? I mean, I don't know. I can't even imagine how it makes you feel, because for me, I got like, I don't know, I got like the heebie-jeebies looking at that office.
Can I tell you how it makes me feel?
I can't even imagine.
Sorry, it's bringing it back to me. I almost died in front of that
office.
Bring it back
to
Doug. Do you remember that? When I
back to you, Doug.
I my car was totaled. I was on the phone with the office, and I was pulling back up, and someone ripped through a stop sign right there and seared my car in half. It was when I was into golf, by the way, and I was supposed to be playing golf, and my car was totaled. And when I stepped out of it, people were like, I can't believe you just walked
out. Oh, that happened
right
on that street in front of the office, because it's like a street
right
in the street.
In front of that office.
I know what you're talking about.
Person just ripped through the stop sign. And I guess I was in
kind of
shock.
It is a little confusing over there.
But I was very obsessed with golf at the moment. So whoever I was on the phone with in the office came running down because they heard the whole thing. And I was there. And I had someone coming to get me to play golf. And I got out and I said to, I forget, whoever came down from the office, I said, do me a favor. I'm like a little shaken up. I need to play golf. Just can you get insurance from this person? And I got in a car and I left and I played 18 holes of golf. But I almost died. That was, the car was, I have a picture of that car. It was total.
A lot of stuff happened in those offices. Yeah. A lot of stuff happened in those offices.
What does that mean?
I don't know. We were just there for a long time. I don't know. The office always gave me a little bit of anxiety.
Really?
Yeah.
I liked it there.
Yeah, I mean, that was like dude, you lived in this place for 5-6 years. Am I right? I mean, that was like where it was most of the time.
At least four for sure. But I liked it there. It was a good spot, right?
I have to say, I'm thinking about the Anna stuff and when I was watching it, I would love another crack at a couple of those scenes.
Well, why don't we do it? Why don't we get somebody?
I mean, for real, I would, you know, just some opportunities missed.
Is there any possibility that that's the reason she did not respond to your DMs asking her to come on the podcast? She didn't love your acting?
I don't know what it is. is. The only thing I could honestly think is that her husband was the DP of Gotti. I thought he and I got along, but maybe when it all.
By the way, one of your best moments, one of your legitimate best reaction shots, which you can, people could say it's broad, but I laughed out loud at your gulp when she says, "It's my boyfriend." You do a giant. Gulp. I mean, do you remember the moment?
Yeah, I do.
What do you think about that?
I don't know. I just remember thinking, like, this girl's a star.
Yeah.
I remember thinking, like, this. That happens when a lot of times, you know, you just never know. And you could know somebody, oh, this one's coming and that one's coming. But within the first day of the first scene, I was like, okay, this girl is legit.
She's got it.
She's just got whatever it is.
Yeah.
She has it. So I don't know. There's just like some things. If I'm like thinking about like E at times, like, it's like, oh my God, yeah. Anna wants to have dinner tonight. It's like, Anna wants to have dinner tonight. Oh, this is wow. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. There are things I would do different. That's all. That's all.
Well,
just in that.
Well,
a
your gulp was amazing. You know what my favorite moment of this entire episode is?
Because, by the way, that is the best storyline in the episode. The other ones are way dark. At least that was light. And
you know my favorite moment is?
What is it?
Drama and Vince at the house.
Oh,
alone.
We talked about that. I wrote that down. It's amazing.
Like, they have nothing to talk
about.
And
right.
I have.
Well,
like,
it was an ongoing theme that, like, really none of us, aside from Vince and E and Drama and Turtle, anything outside of that just didn't work. Remember, Turtle's like, hey, you want to go to Villa tonight? I'm like, just me and you. We're both like, yeah, now that you mentioned it.
Do you have that in your friend group? Like, I have my high school friends. We're all on a chat, and there's sometimes like my friends Ricky Zimmerman and Eric Stein. Like, when they say they're going to have dinner alone, everybody is just like, huh? Like, what? It just doesn't make sense. The two of you out together.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, like at Villa, like, yo, Turtle, let's go to that. It doesn't make sense. But it was funny to watch Drama and Vince have the same thing.
Yeah.
It's like, unless it's Vince and E or Drama and Turtle, it just doesn't work. I thought that was hilarious. Yeah, weird episode.
Obviously
the Anna Faris storyline is gonna continue. AJ Buckley, who plays the boyfriend, and he's another one. You know what? I think this whole storyline had me feeling insecure about my acting, maybe, because AJ Buckley comes in and delivers a performance on par with Anna Faris.
I hate to say it wrong, because I don't know if he's on SEAL Team 6 or a show like that.
I think he's on SEAL Team 6. SEAL Team.
I'm looking forward to seeing this next episode, because I'll be very sincere. For whatever reason, and people say the show got worse, whatever they want to say.
That's a good storyline.
But I'm saying the first three seasons, I remember almost every single thing that happened. And I'm seeing stuff now that I'm like, I sort of remember this. I sort of remember that. But AJ Buckley, I hope it is as good as I remember it.
Yeah. I think this is
one of the funniest people I've ever been around in my life. He would make me laugh. And he's doing, if I'm not incorrect, and I swear to you, I don't remember the story. I think because American Idol was so big back then, and Randy Jackson would say dog.
Right, he kept saying dog.
That's where it came from, I believe. And again, I have not watched that episode in years and years and years. So
he really, really, really goes for it. And I'm guessing it's the next episode. I don't know how long. How many, do we know how many? I should know how many episodes Anna Faris did. But
I didn't even
I don't know how long. And does the soap opera thing continue? Like, what happens next on the show?
I don't know. It sounds like we have a bad show.
No, and then it's upsetting. End it. This episode is the last two.
I'm depressed
we hit a little rough patch.
I'm depressed because, you know, I've got some fucking guy just jumping on every site and reviewing things. Like, and again, I don't want you to think I'm depressed about that, but like, we need our reviews up. We need to build our audience. And everybody out there, which we said this last week, guy reviewed something. He gave a criticism, but he gave us the 5 stars. Give the 5 stars. You want to say you don't like something, we'll work on changing it. Because, by the way, I think you've even seen it with
criticism.
Connelly
so
today.
If you give us 5 stars and then air out your grievances in a civilized manner.
Yeah, exactly. Tell me my marriage isn't going to last, you fucking jerk.
That was not very nice.
Just so stupid.
Not very nice.
I got, okay, I think we're done with this episode.
Yeah,
I have bigger things to talk about.
But listen, here's the other thing, too. That's back-to-back questionable episodes. We need a banger.
Here's the note.
We got Can coming. So that's for sure the closer. And honestly, bro, and I know HBO did whatever, but it felt like we were saving it up for the big banger at the end.
What does that mean HBO did?
No, I know HBO always gave you what you wanted, but it feels like we're in the middle of like just some...
There's no excuses. HBO never... push us anyway. We needed to, every episode should be great. And I hope, I actually hope
it
someone
wasn't
tells
like, hey,
me
try
we're
to
wrong.
Do these for a couple, do this for a cheaper price.
Yeah, tread water for a couple episodes and then get us back on track. No, right. I was upset with this episode. Hopefully next week will be better. Have you spoken to Dylan? Is Dylan coming back?
I think Dylan's coming back next week.
Okay.
We shall see.
Good, and we'll be back. Victory the podcast.
Victory the podcast.
Picks up the rice in the church where a wedding has been. Lives in a dream, waits at the window, wearing the fur.